Holding an unassuming jar of baby food, it might seem hard to imagine that a simple container of pureed carrots could have such a profound role in shaping our cultural values and the ideas of nutrition. Amy Bentley explores the subjects of food, politics, and culture from many angles, and in her latest work, she looks at baby food with her book, Inventing Baby Food, Taste, Health, and the Industrialization of the American Diet. Our contributor, Noelle Carter, got the story.
Hi, Amy. I'm so excited to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting me.
I'm wondering, what did we do before commercial baby food? How did babies eat, and when did mothers introduce their babies to solid food?
Well, commercial baby food started in the early 20th century, 1920s, late 1920s. Before then, there wasn't a category specifically called baby food. There was a category of soft foods, that is, foods that were appropriate for infants, invalids, and the elderly. But the advice and practice of the late 19th century was really that you didn't feed babies solid food until about a year of age. You were supposed to breastfeed them, formulas if you absolutely had to. But it was thought that solid food wasn't needed until later. And in fact, there was an advice and practice that you did not feed children fruits and vegetables until about 2 years of age.
Now, how did commercial baby food come to be?
Well, as vitamins were discovered in the 19-teens, that was also about the time you had the industrialization of the food supply. Those products were more widely available and were more affordable. There was a man named Harold Clapp in Rochester, New York, whose child was sick, and he created a soup for that child made of vegetables, and it proved so popular that his friends asked him for it, and he went to the local canner and commercially prepared this product. That was also about the same time that the Gerber Company was starting to produce baby food, and others just picked it up, and then eventually you had the development of three or four really big commercial brands. But it was very, very popular from the get-go. The products were portable, convenient. They were advertised as safe and modern and better than you could prepare at home. And they were seen as a product of convenience for women. Women could put them in their bags and remove themselves from the kitchen and travel around, and eventually made it easier for them to go outside and perform paid labor because they had this portable baby food.
You go through the history of baby food, and it's incredibly popular until the 1970s. And then all of a sudden, the use of baby food and a number of other things come into question. What happened?
Well, through the mid-20th century, the average age of when it was understood you could feed a baby solids begins to drop dramatically. So whereas in the early 20th century, the average age of feeding an infant is around 9 to 12 months of age, by the 1950s and 60s, the average age of introducing solids to a baby is 4 to 6 weeks of age. And there are some doctors that are promoting introducing solids at 24 hours after birth. And this was because baby food was thought to be strong, healthy, solid food was better than liquid formula. Most parents formula fed their babies in the mid-20th century, and commercial solid food was just kind of the next step. There was no scientific evidence that this was harmful for a child. And in the kind of post-war Cold War period, there was this idea that we need our children strong, we need them to be competitive. I might be doing my baby a disservice if I don't feed my child commercial baby food early. This begins to change in the 1970s and 80s as you switch and have a kind of a general ethos that's a little more mistrustful of science, mistrustful of institutions, skeptical of technology. And women start to ascribe to an ethos called natural motherhood. I should trust my instincts. I know better than anything how I should feed my baby. There begins to be some scientific evidence that it probably is not the best thing to feed an infant's solids so early, in part because the way that baby food is made at that period, which is with a lot of additives, sugar, salt, and that also an infant's digestive system is not equipped to digest solid food. It's so early, and the best food is breast milk. Eventually, they figure it out. And so consumers push against the conventional baby food. They make their own baby food. The commercial manufacturers begin to take out sugar, salts, begin to remove baby food desserts. And then you have a different era of what baby food should be like and how I should feed my child and when I should feed my child baby food.
You discussed the connection between commercial baby food and the industrialized palate. How might food choices, be it baby food or even formula, play a role in developing a child's sense of taste?
Yeah, scientists are finding out that infants learn and grow and develop through taste, through their palates, even in utero. We know that amniotic fluid is flavored by the food a woman eats. After birth, the foods that a child is exposed to have a big influence on how that child is learning and developing an understanding about the world. And if children are only experiencing highly industrialized food products with milder profiles, more salt, more sugar, refined carbohydrates, then that's what their palate is becoming even more accustomed to. As humans, we're hardwired to seek out sugar and eventually salt, but we need to learn to become acclimated to bitter flavors, sour flavors, a variety of profiles. So there's more and more emphasis on first foods being something other than white rice cereal, for instance, you know, an avocado or meat or a red or a orange fruit or vegetable. And there's no real scientific evidence that these can't be used as first foods. In fact, if we look around the world, we find that people feed their infants a wide variety of different kinds of first foods, including some very interesting spice combinations.
Where do you see the trend in baby food going from here on out?
Yeah, it's really interesting. And in the last couple of decades, there's really been a rise of boutique baby foods who are experimenting with different flavors and different grains and vegetables. Commercial baby foods are also expanding their repertoire. There's also a group who understand that there wasn't a category called baby food in the beginning and maybe are arguing that there doesn't need to be a category called baby food. And this is a trend called baby-led weaning. And those people advocate that infants be breastfed until about 6 months of age, and then you can sit that child in a high chair and chop up table food and throw it on the high chair and the baby will be just fine. That said, I mean, baby food is not going to go away because it is important for some children. And also, it is a product of convenience. And in the United States, we're very much attuned to convenience and mobility. And these products allow women especially more flexibility with their life. And in fact, some studies show that they actually do provide a wider range of fruits and vegetables for infants than otherwise. You can buy a jar of mangoes or a jar of beets, and a lot of families don't have a very wide variety of fruits and vegetables. So once infants go off baby food, one of the top three vegetables that they consume are French fries. And so baby food can actually have a protective quality for a lot of American infants.
Amy, thank you so much. It's such a fascinating read.
You're welcome. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Amy Bentley is Associate Professor in NYU's Department of Nutrition, Food Studies, and Public Health. She's author of Inventing Baby Food. Noelle Carter is the Los Angeles Times Test Kitchen Director and writes the Culinary SOS column. Check out our version of baby food with a recipe for celery root and apple puree. And you can find it at splendidtable.org.